Let us sing further in Psalm 116. Let us read from verse 11. And as a few further verses are sung, the remainder of the communicants should come forward to the Lord's table to remember what their Saviour has done for them. I said when I was in my haste, "Let all men liars be. What shall I render to the Lord for all his gifts to me? Isle of salvation take the cup. On God's name will I call. I'll pay my vows now to the Lord before his people all." I said when I was in my haste, "Let all men liars be." Verse 11.
Of the Lord, and we would endeavour to direct your thoughts for a little while to precious words in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53, where the prophet looks to the one who is to come and speaks of him as being wounded for the transgressions of his people and bruised for their iniquities, the chastisement of his peace being upon them. And by his stripes, they being healed. And we would think at this time about that expression, the chastisement of our peace. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And your great trouble as a sinner, when your eyes were opened, was your sin and your estrangement from God. But you now are in a state of peace with God. You've been justified by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that has been brought about through the chastisement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word chastisement is in some respects a gentler word than that of punishment, or it's a word that has another meaning. Punishment looks purely to legal suffering. But chastisement has another purpose as well. And that word is used advisedly by the Holy Spirit, if we may speak in such a way, concerning the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of his people. Because they were indeed a punishment for sin. Christ was punished. He bare our sins in his own body upon the tree. But there was another purpose in it. and it was the perfecting of Christ for the work of the high priest. That though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. So it was a work of chastisement in that way. And it's by the chastisement of the Lord Jesus Christ at the hand of God that you find yourself where you are now. And that chastisement was acceptable to God. It brought peace in heaven with regard to your sin. There is a holy anger in heaven against sin. God is a God who hates sin and who is angry with it, and yet he is at peace with your sin, because the chastisement of your peace was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is not only at peace with your sin, but he is now at peace with you. We would say that he was at peace with your sin when Christ rose again from the dead, and he had a purpose of mercy towards you. Indeed, he had such a purpose from all eternity, that Christ put away sin by the suffering of its sacrifice of himself. But he's been at peace with you since that day when he drew you to himself, when he gave you faith and repentance and caused you to lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the chastisement of that of your peace being on Christ brought you to peace with God, and to peace also in yourself. Peace with God, that you are reconciled to him, but peace also in yourself, and the blood of Christ was applied to you, and your conscience was purged. And it's a wonderful, and we would say an incomprehensible matter, how it is that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ should give the people of God a measure of peace in their souls with regard to their sins. They are still go softly, that is not taken away from them, their mourning for their sins, the godly sorrow that remains, and yet the torment of sin is taken away by the blood, by the suffering, by the chastisement of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he has given you peace in yourself, and that chastisement not only gave you peace, it may be many years ago now, but that chastisement has maintained peace in your soul, because again and again you have fallen into sin, great and small, and you've lost your peace and needed it restored, and it is through the chastisement of the Lord Jesus Christ that you've found peace once again. And so that the chastisement of Christ is a matter of abiding importance to you. And furthermore, it is your hope for eternity, that you look ahead to that world which you are only able to enter through the sufferings of Christ. And he has now gone ahead of you, and he has left his peace behind. My peace I leave with you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. And as Christ suffered in one way in peace, that was great suffering, and it was with strong crying and tears that he suffered, yet at the same time there was a holy peace in his soul, because there was no sin found there, even in the greatest of his sufferings. And that peace he has now given to you. And it is in your soul with regard to death and your prospects for eternity. And that is your great comfort. That is the seal that you have upon your heart, that Christ has died for you. And you are endeavouring to keep in remembrance the death of Christ, and you are seeking his presence at this time. And so we will not withhold any longer the symbols of his broken body and shed blood. In the night he was betrayed, he gave thanks, as his servant has done.
This is my body, which is in the field. This happens to be the New Testament of Micah. We hear this in remembrance of the king. As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the whole stem to the recovery.
The Holy Ghost by the prophet continues that the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And you were pointed earlier in the sermon to something of the healing work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the giving of spiritual sight to the spiritually blind. And that healing work is something that has continued in your life. And we see that it is through the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, the stripes that were laid upon him in the days of Pilate, when Pilate delivered him up to be scourged by the Romans, and he was taken away to the hall praetorium, and there he was suffered those outward stripes, and yet the stripes by which healing comes to your soul are not those outward stripes that were laid upon him so much as the stripes which were laid upon him by God the judge in heaven. And he was beaten in that way for the sins of his people. But the effect of this has been a great blessing to your soul. And in the Gospels we read of the tiny fraction of the wonderful miracles, the wonders that the Lord Jesus Christ performed. Mention has been made, as we said, of the opening of the eyes, and that is something that Christ has done for you again and again, the Holy Spirit has done for you. Not just at the beginning of your Christian walk, but again and again he has opened your eyes that have been in a way blinded by sin. He opened your eyes to behold wondrous things out of his law. He's restored your sight to your sight in spiritual matters, that you can see the King in his beauty, the Lamb that is very far off. You can see that you can behold that one. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Your sight has been restored to you many times over, and your sense or your reason has been restored to you. Christ cast out devils. Well, you've had much conflict with the devil, that subtle one. He conceals himself, and yet he's behind many of your troubles. And again and again, through the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been healed from wounds brought to you from that quarter, and you've been restored and like that one who is clothed and in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Christ. And is it not a blessed thing to be in your right mind in spiritual matters? And your vileness has been taken away. Christ healed the lepers. And we know that leprosy is a disease that makes a man unfit for company. And how often you have felt unfit for the company of the saints and the company of the angels and the company of God himself in glory by reason of your sin, and yet through his stripes Christ has healed you in this matter. Your leprosy has been taken away, and you've been able to go and show yourself to the high priest and enter back into the communion of the people of God and the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. The spirits of just men made perfect, and God himself. And you've had your hearing and your speech restored to you. But again, you've lost through sin, so that you would not hear the voice of the Lord God directing you what you ought to do. You were refusing to hear it. And as you would not obey, so you could not speak. So your mouth was shut up from prayer. But he's healed you in these matters. And you've heard the voice speaking to your soul, telling you the way to go. And David's closed lips were opened after he had been refusing to hear the voice of God, and his praise was put into his mouth, a new song into his mouth, even praise unto his God. And Christ has done that for you. And he's healed your ears, and he's healed your tongue, he's healed your feet, so that you're able to, like that man, that lame man, who was leapt for joy, and was enabled to go in the commandments of God. So all these things have been performed for you again and again. By his stripes we are healed. And the Apostle Peter connects this with the life of righteousness of the people of God. That being dead to sins, he says, we should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. So you are now endeavouring to live a life of righteousness. And Christ has set his goodness before you in this ordinance. He's set before you again his everlasting love. He set before you his death. He set before you the fact that he's gone to prepare a place for you, that where he is, there ye may be also. And you have a little while to continue yet in this world, but you're to go in the strength of this meat, and you will now rise from the table with his grace in your hearts, with his praise upon your lips, and singing in Psalm 103 at verse 6, God righteous judgment executes for all oppressed ones.
God righteous.
God's table is now empty and will not be filled again on this occasion. And we shall conclude with a word of prayer and praise. Let us pray. Gracious and ever-blessed One, God of heaven and earth, enable us to lift up our hearts together with our hands unto Thee in the heavens, to acknowledge thy great mercy and kindness, enabling us to meet in this way around the word and sacrament again, and enable us to trace a direct line from these gracious providences to thyself upon thy throne, to the intercession that we have been hearing of. And grant to bless thy people who kept fresh today the memory of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to save unto the uttermost all those that come unto thee by him. And may the word be blessed to us and thy people blessed, and the administration of the sacrament, and to be with us as a congregation. Bless the word amongst us. Bless this communion season, that thou wouldst enable us to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, be it Old Testament or New Testament faith. Graciously help us to wait upon thee and wash all our sins away, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall sing in Psalm 111 and from verse 3. Psalm 111 from verse 3. His work most honourable is, most glorious and pure, and his untainted righteousness forever doth endure. His works most wonderfully hath made to be thought upon. The Lord is gracious, and he is full of compassion. He giveth meat unto all those that truly do him fear, and evermore his covenant he in his mind will bear. We'll sing these three verses, Psalm 111 from verse 3. His work most honourable is, most glorious and pure. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.